Blue Gold Sports is rich in tradition and excellence. It's about the athletes, the coaches, the games, and the history. And it all rolls into one place. It's the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, your official UWO Claire Blue Golds podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, the season two finale. And if we sound a little different, it's because we're back at Sonntag recording our season two finale, because in the second half, we're going to be talking with, the two peeps in charge, Jason Verdugo and Robin Baker. But before you get to hear them, you got to hear Nick talk and myself talk
you
a little bit, too.
Have to hear me talk?
Yes. Yes. Have to. So it just seems like yesterday I was in this room talking to Banks and talking about soccer. Like, that's how quick it's flown on by.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? What? What?
You meant Spencer Banks.
Yeah.
I thought you meant, like, actual Banks. Like, no. U.S. Bank,
no, no, RC. No.
I'm like, when were you down here talking with local Banks and soccer?
Spencer Banks, the goalie. Come on.
Well, yeah, it was the soccer guys. It was the volleyball crew.
Mm-hmm.
It's, dude, where is time gone?
Right?
It's insane.
Yeah. Like, it's finals week going on right now.
This will drop
on. So I'm going to take some time.
Okay.
Because I know she's listening. But I want to wish my mother a very happy birthday. Because this comes out on Thursday.
Yep.
And it is her birthday. So happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Love you.
Nick's mom. I don't know her name, but we'll just call her Mom. We don't need to say it. Unless you want to say it.
Nick's mom is fine.
Nick's mom. Okay.
Yep. She doesn't like the spotlight.
All right. So you put her up there. That's
exactly. But yeah, oh my God. Like, it's May
mm-hmm.
13th, 14th, 15th when this drops.
Yep.
Like, where has time gone?
Yeah, by the time that it drops, it's already halfway through. And yeah, that's unreal. So, well,
and of course, Jason last week reminded me, like, oh, by the way, we have 4 months till start of football season.
Yep.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, before football season and before we get to Jason and Robin, we still got some stuff going on. And speaking of Robin, we might as well start off with softball, right? I mean, the WIAC tournament. The Blue Golds did fall to the Pointers, but they punched their ticket to the national tournament, which is today. If you're listening to this podcast, yeah. It's actually today, the 15th. It's a quick turnaround, which is something we talked about last week. You know, after WIAC tournament, it's a quick turnaround to the national tournament. So in Indiana, you're going to be in Indiana too.
Yes,
with them,
we'll be in Angola, Indiana, at mm-hmm. Trine University.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact: guess where last place Blue Gold softball played in NCAA tournament.
Probably the same place.
Bang on. 2022.
Nice.
But so, little familiar territory. We don't have the fondest of memories of that place just because we got stuck in a 3-hour rain delay back in 2022. But yeah, holy cow, what a weekend. But you know, this is what NPI is all about,
mm-hmm.
right? So start off first round against Point. Just couldn't get things to kind of go their way. battled back, which I didn't realize. Whitewater's got a very short field. Mm. So watching the game before us, Platteville was hitting bombs.
Short porch?
Yeah. And then Molly Marcourt hit a bomb for us to cut the lead down. But, you know, it just wasn't one of our days. And so Blue Golds fell to the Pointers in the first round. Traveled back home that day and kind of was... The vibe was like, it was weird. And I think it's one of those feelings that I don't think is going to necessarily be like a unique thing. Cause it's one of those things where we didn't really know where we stood.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because earlier in the year, final NPI numbers come out like every Sunday, right? When you get into conference tournament, like numbers were finalized on Friday, and mm-hmm. then they were finalized on Saturday, and then they were finalized again on Sunday, okay. right? Yep. Kind of just showing an updated list of where everybody is. So team went out, you know, fell the Pointers, got back home Friday night, and kind of just, we knew we were kind of just right on that bubble. As of that morning, we were like one of the last three teams in. So it all just came down to, you know, how the math and how the computer was going to calculate, you know, a 44 ranked NPI team losing to a 38th point tournament team, right? Mm-hmm. But not only that, but how to do all the other tournaments in the in the nation kind of shape out, right? Because if you have your NPI favorite winning the tournament, they're not going to steal a bid per se in at large. So Saturday kind of rolled around. There was some upsets, and to be honest with you, like, we were kind of thinking that we were on the outside looking in.
Okay.
But then, yeah, we were just talking about it. There was two tournaments on Saturday that were kind of like, based on our calculations, here's where we think we could finish if these two teams win, or if this team wins, or like, it just gets into a bunch of like hypotheticals in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. Of, you know, where we think we could go. And yeah, sure enough, Sunday evening, I was out on the golf course with some football staff. And
hold on, Walker Link? Or Link Walker?
That was Friday.
Was that Friday? Okay.
Just happened to go back out on Sunday.
Okay.
I knew that the final NPI results were going to come out Sunday. I kind of forgot what time, like, the basketball ones, the volleyball ones came out, so mm-hmm. I thought I had some time, you know, to get a quick 18 in, and sure enough, 7:20, I got a text from Robin, and it's just all caps with two words. It just says, "We're in."
And nice.
So quickly hopped on the phone. Not that I'm double checking her math, but wanted to see it for myself. And yeah, sure enough, NPI had us rated 44. So second to last team to get an at large. And then we hosted the selection show Monday morning, kind of mm-hmm. see where we're going. So softball team will be going down to Trine University as the 3 seed. They open up tournament play with Baldwin Wallace. And then we'll either face Trine or University of Pittsburgh, Greensburg.
Okay.
And so another unique thing is conference tournament this year for the first time, single elim.
Mm-hmm.
Back to double elimination when we get to NCAAs, though.
Okay.
So whether you win or lose on Thursday, you go ahead, you play one more game on mm-hmm. Friday, and then you keep playing until...
Work your way back.
Yeah, work mm-hmm. your way back in if you drop the first game, or it's just first one to win 3 games. So mm-hmm. very excited. Don't know too much about like Baldwin Wallace. Mm-hmm. There's not much crossover between the OAC and the WIAC. But I mean, it's tournament play, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's fighting for their lives, backs against the wall. So any team can win on any given day. It'll definitely be a dogfight. And mm-hmm. but I think this crew kind of have a second chance per se, right? WIAC tournament didn't go how they obviously wanted it to. Mm-hmm. So I think that like Robin says later in the interview or the episode, everybody's 0-0,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. It's blank slate now. So just go out there, play your best ball, and you know, we'll see how far they can run this thing.
Absolutely. Speaking of, you know, teams and athletes still alive too, of course, track and field, outdoor track and field season going on as well. And did I see another school record, or was that last week for discus?
No, he just keeps breaking records, and it's funny because we were talking about it. Like, we're running out of graphics. Mm-hmm. We're running out of graphics to put him on.
I saw him, too. It's funny because it was like, I think it was the day after, he's practicing on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, he's up on upper campus practicing when I was driving by.
There's no off time. So, yeah. Big shout out to Jacob Beckway.
Yep.
Broke a 13-year-old school record in the hammer throw. Tossed at 62.58 meters. So just unreal.
Yeah.
Absolutely unreal. Especially to do it down at the school that shall not be named, which is nice.
Yes.
But yeah, like you said, track is alive and booming. Had a couple more last chance meets here this week. They go down to Augustana Wednesday. And lacrosse, shoot, I said it, on Wednesday as well. But then, you know, before we know it, they leave next Tuesday morning? Yeah, next Tuesday morning for Ohio.
For the NCAA championships?
Yes, so Friday we will know who all qualified,
okay.
Who's all going. So I think it's a Friday night, if my memory serves me correct. And then, yeah, from there it's just... Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for them out mm-hmm. at, what's that? Spire Institute.
Mm-hmm. Because I know we don't have a whole lot of, you know, sports from last week. We wrapped up some of the seasons there, too. But, you know, going back to last week, we weren't quite sure where they were going to be at. But for men's golf right now, just are they going to, or did they fall a little bit
they
short?
They just missed the cut. Selections were announced yesterday at 3.
Okay.
It's tough. And I was talking with Coach Skinner a little bit about it. It really is tough. Because they don't have like an NPI, so you can't like see what like results are, or not results, but like ranks are and stuff like that. And that's not, they don't go by NPI, so you can't, like softball, right? You can see where you're at and who's in and not.
Right.
It's tough for them, and Jason alluded to it later in the episode as well. You know, they don't have a conference for an automatic qualifier, but at the same time, it's tough because none of the southern schools want to come up north and play us, right? Because half the time there's snow on the ground.
Oh, I was going to ask, is it weather related?
Oh, no, it always is. Okay. Yeah. And so we're then forced to go down, you know, down south or, you know, out east or out west. And, you know, that's just not in the budget.
Yeah.
All every year, right? And so, you know, there was some key. The way that Coach Skinner kind of put it was, there were some key teams who, if you would have put us on the course with them, we were confident that we could handle our own and take it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You just never get that chance, right? Because you don't see them in any of these meets or anything like that. Because again, they don't want to come up north, and they all just kind of play each other in the south and play each other in the west. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what the solution is for that, to be honest with you. But unfortunately, no Blue Golds will be representing Eau Claire.
Now, I don't know if, because I used to play in high school, so I don't know if it's similar to this. Is it just for the national tournament, teams only? Can individuals qualify for the national tournament too?
Yes.
Okay.
So individuals can. Okay. Unfortunately, we did not have any individuals make it either. But again, I think the number of individuals that make it, I think there's like maybe 10.
Okay, so it's not many.
It's very, very, yeah, it's not. It's not a lot. But like team-wise, there's 34 automatic qualifying berths.
Okay.
So those are conferences, right, which we aren't in. And then there's only 9 at-large bids.
Okay.
And looking at this list, we played maybe like 1 or 2. Of these at-large birth teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's just, you just don't have the resume for it, right? You can't look at this list and say, well, we're better than these 9 teams because we didn't play all 9 teams.
Right.
Right? Which is hard. You know, and then looking at the individuals, it's just, you know, who's playing hot golf at that time. And, you know, those 10 individuals had better scores than our guys did. So, It's the road that happens sometimes.
Yeah. So, any other sport that we didn't wrap up last week off the top of your head? I know we talked tennis last week. We kind of wrapped up lacrosse last week as well. So, and women's golf we wrapped up last week too. I mean, a really good finish to their season. So, I mean, is it pretty much just softball and track and field that are still alive?
Softball and track is all that's left.
Okay. Yeah, because we wrapped up baseball last season, too. Mm-hmm. Or last week, too. So, wow. Down to the last couple, dude.
It's been a year.
Should mention, I know Jason and Robin talk about it in the second half, too, but since it is the last one, if you have a youngster interested in camps, right, sports camps, it's summer, it's sports camps, Blue Gold camps all over the place. I know we've got your all sports one, but we've got basketball ones. We've got volleyball ones too. So if you got a kiddo, you got a youngster, now it's camp season coming up here.
Bluegolds.com/camps is your way to go for the summer. I mean, we've got every sport under the sun here.
Yeah.
Baseball, volleyball, cross country, track, soccer, basketball, wrestling, diving, gymnastics, lacrosse, softball, strength performance. I think I said them all.
Yeah.
But and then fairly new one, the Sports for All Camp, which is a good one.
That started last year, right? The first time?
Yep. And that's in partnership with the Shields, which we're very grateful for them. But that is an opportunity for, you know, kids can just come on down to Sonotag.
Mm-hmm. interact with the players and coaches,
yes,
too.
Yes, so interact with Blue Gold student athletes and kind of just run around for a couple hours. And I think, like, to Jason's point, like, we're just trying to be mindful of financial situations and stuff like that, too, right? Because we know not everybody is able to pay for camps, but that's also why some of our camps are priced the way that they are, right? Because you could travel an hour and a half, hour 15 west over to the cities, and some of those camps are going to be three times as much as they are here.
Right.
So definitely it's camp season. If you're looking for your little ones to, you know, get out and get active this summer, or you know, are truly looking for some competition or some good insight from our coaches and our athletes, highly recommend checking those out. And the coolest thing I always will say is it is phenomenal the amount of campers that actually become Blue Golds, right? Tanya had a couple last year on her squad. Kim has a couple on her squad right now from volleyball. Right. And so it is like, and then they bring up their pictures, right, when they were campers and now they're, you know, Blue Gold athletes. And it's not necessarily, we don't put these on, right, to get people to become Blue athletes, right? But it's a cool connection of, you know, who sticks around and, you know, seeing that impact being made.
Right. Yep.
So
absolutely. Any final thoughts before we get to our guests here?
What a year.
I won't ask you to pick a favorite because there's just too many and we don't want to do that, but
it's
there's just so many of them.
This year is, every year that I've been here has been different. Whether that was just, you know, staff changes or life changes or whatever. Moving buildings, right? Thank God I don't have to build 5 desks this summer. But I think this year in particular, like, we're in such a good spot. And I think Jason alludes to it later in the episode. Like, I think we finally all kind of have our grasp around this thing. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of comfortable, right? So nobody's moving anywhere or anything like that I know of. But we can really, you know, start the ship. Start the ship in the right. I mean, it's already going in the right direction, but we kind of put it into the next gear.
Yeah.
Right. And Jason kind of alluded to it during his press conference for the week of giving we did back in April. But like, there is another level to this place, and I kind of have an insight onto what he sees that I'm not going to share. Maybe that's something I probably should have asked him that, but I don't know that he would have given away his secrets. But There's another level of this place, and I'm very excited to see where we can take this thing. And to be quite honest, like, I'm excited to see all the graduates this weekend come back. And I think that's one of the biggest things is the alumni days are some of my favorite days because I get to see student athletes who I've seen grown for, you know, 4 years here in college, come back and support that, whether it's their teammates or just their coaches, and really, you know, continue to be a Blue Gold. And I think that's so special. And so, yeah, not to get too sentimental or anything, but it's been a year, that's for sure. We got some really, really cool things. I know they didn't allude to it, but I can say without giving anything away, there are some big things coming.
Color me intrigued now, man. That's quite the tease.
And there's a couple that are like first in D3.
Ooh. Now I'm intrigued and hanging on the edge of my seat, dude. So that's awesome. That's great to hear.
So, but yeah, I kind of end it with this. Thank you to the community, to Blue Gold parents, Blue Gold athletes, coaches. You know, for me personally, thank you for making this place special. But at the same time, you know, thank you for supporting our student athletes and everything that we do, because they're the reason why we get up every morning and do what we do. And thank you, Dan, for being you. And, you know, did I think we were going to get through 2 seasons of this? I was a little I didn't, not in that way.
I just didn't know how much. I didn't know the traction this was going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and from what I hear from others, and firmly knowing it's not just my mother listening to this. My grandmother also listens, which is great. But just hearing the feedback from everybody and being able to tell, you know, the coaches and the student athletes and alumni stories and everything, and it kind of just it helps us share what's so special about this place.
I think the coolest part for me is when, you know, I hear from a recruit's parent that they listen,
mm-hmm.
or when you ask, you know, before we get to our interviews and we have athletes, hey, have you listened to an episode? Oh yeah, you know, to hear the athletes
right
say that too. That's to me the coolest part. Like, awesome that the coaches and Blue Gold member, you know, coaches and all of them, mm-hmm. listen to it, but to hear that the athletes and then parents, you know, especially like recruit parents listen, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool.
And again, like this kind of just started with the idea of, you know, kind of giving some weekly updates, but at the same time sharing the stories,
mm-hmm.
and doing as much storytelling as we can, because, you know, with 700 plus athletes that we have here, mm-hmm. there are so many stories, and there's definitely stories that we weren't able to tell this year, right? But
and the cool thing, just a little peek behind the curtain, Nick or myself never come with pre-planned questions either.
Does that make us lazy?
No, I think I don't even do that on the radio, because I try to be, I'd rather have it be non-scripted.
Well, and that's the way that we, well, other than the chancellor.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's the way that I think this works,
mm-hmm.
in a sense of it is just us getting together, kind of just, you know, seeing where the conversation takes us.
Mm-hmm.
And even for those athletes who come in a little nervous, like, you can tell first couple questions, they're a little uneasy,
mm-hmm.
but they open up and are able to kind of, you know, share their insight and everything, and mm-hmm. and again, that, and that's why we do it for them,
mm-hmm.
right? And so this has been fantastic, so
mm-hmm.
thank you. I'm excited what we can do with this going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we add a video aspect.
I think we do.
I just can't wear a baseball cap and a hoodie every day then.
Dude, I do. Don't worry about it, man.
We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see.
You don't need to wear a tie or anything that, so.
Not to get your hopes up, and I'm probably going to kick myself for doing this. I had this idea on the ride here. Maybe we truly do get this whole pizza tour going this summer. Ooh, with Coach Melvick.
Yeah.
Now that I'm not moving buildings and building desks every day.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
It's just, now we're I don't know. Getting that camera in front of his face, I don't know how it's going to go.
We'll get there. Tell him it'll help recruiting. Right? Yeah.
So.
All right, buddy. Well, you know what, too? I don't know if this is in the plans. If you guys got any new swag coming out, let me know so I can buy some.
Well, I got some in the back for you, so.
Well, you don't got to do that. But, okay. I'd never turn down swag. All right, bud, let's get to our interviews, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, quick break from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back talking with Mr. Verdugo and Robin Baker coming up after these quick words.
Support for UWEC Athletics comes from Northwestern Mutual, proud sponsor of all UWEC athletes. For over 160 years, Northwestern Mutual has helped their employees build their own financial practice. Contact Maggie Conway at 715-835-2189 to learn more about internship and career opportunities with Northwestern Mutual. You can also visit eauclair.nm.com for more information on careers. At Northwestern Mutual, they help you live life differently.
We're proud to support local Wisconsin organizations with the Festival Foods Brat Stand, where grilling and fundraising go hand in hand. This year, when you sign up your organization to work the stand, you'll also be entered to win an additional $1,000 for your cause. Sign up today and get ready to do good with Wisconsin's favorite food.
Second half of the Rolling with the Golds podcast, and while we're wrapping up season two of this podcast with, fair to say, the two bosses in charge, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bittersweet time of year when we get these two on the podcast, because it's always a great time to have them in and to pick their brains and get their insight. But at the same time, we kind of know it's the end of the podcast season,
mm-hmm.
per se. But yeah,
been 2 years with these two working together. And, you know, I've said it once and I'll probably say it till something changes. But, you know, couldn't be happier to where these two have landed. Couldn't be more proud to call myself a Blue Gold and work alongside these two. You know, they may come into the office every day, not a chore, but, you know, a privilege. And honestly, to see where we've come in just these 2 short years with these two at the helm has been fantastic. And I'm absolutely excited and eager to see how much further in that next level we can go. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the Rolling with the Golds podcast, Athletic Director Jason Verdugo and Associate Athletic Director in SWA, Robin Baker.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Look forward to it.
Your feels like it's kind of flown on by, too, you guys. I mean, it just feels like, what, a couple months ago, Nick, we kicked off season two of the episode. I mean, it felt like we were in basketball season and all that. And here we are now in a national tournament for softball. And thanks to Robin, I know you're busy right now getting ready for that, too. So taking some time and chatting with us. But definitely it got to be exciting, too, getting ready to head over to Indiana.
Yeah, the week took a big turn rather quickly in the sense of thinking that summer was coming and it was budget close time season, and now we leave early tomorrow morning to go to Trine for regionals. So
yeah, definitely.
It's a good chaos.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So
yeah, great chaos.
Great chaos. Yeah.
Not a bad way to end the season. Hopefully a long run into the national tournament for softball too, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, looking at the spring sports in its totality, obviously some teams that you know showed well, some that we wish they would have showed a little bit better, but again, that's in sitting in an athletic director's chair, you know, all the teams, as long as they're making progress or showing signs of progress or have a plan to improve, that's what's key. Excited for the remaining teams. We'll have several student athletes in track compete at nationals as they're winding down their season, so high hopes for a lot of individuals and teams. And then obviously softball, who has a relatively young team in terms of the majority of their student athletes, but we're excited for the four seniors to get an opportunity to be a part of a postseason a tournament. So,
you know, since we have both of you guys here, what I kind of want to go back and kind of look back at this last calendar year, academic year and such, and obviously a big one with Sonntag, where we're recording from right now for our podcast. So year one of not only basketball, but you have lacrosse going in at the field house, softball games being played at the field house. What was it like year one under your belts, getting some games in and some practices in under the new facility?
I would say, you know, we're in probably a nice rhythm now. Everybody kind of understands how they're going to utilize the facility, whether it be a football and soccer for practice, lacrosse for a competition, softball for a competition, volleyball, wrestling, men's and women's basketball. So the entire facility being used in a way that we had hoped, and I think and some. And so as coaches get the opportunity to plan for the next academic year, you know, it certainly is a juggling piece all the time when you have this many varsity teams and number of student athletes who want to accommodate everybody. But I feel really comfortable knowing that we have such a great facility, and not only this one, but all the facilities, and and then more importantly, Robin can probably speak to just what it's done and the impact for student athletes in softball specifically.
Yeah, I mean, the Sonntag Fieldhouse is definitely a game changer in the sense of being able to play early games and get our non-conference. This is the first time in 10 years that the softball team has actually played all 40 regular season games.
Wow.
And so shout out to the Sonntags and building this for us so that we could actually do that. It goes a long way, and not just in your record and having the opportunity to get more wins, but also for the student-athletes to have opportunities at postseason awards because their numbers match up better because they had the same number of games as all those teams that are down south. Also, a shout-out to Wyatt Tinnen and his staff with the Sonntag Centers USA, and being able to help us run this and learn how to work together this first year that we've done this. So I think, like Jason said, we're coming into a rhythm and starting to understand each other, and the flow of in season, out of season, and the use by all our teams, even men's women's golf and men's women's track were able to use the field house. So I think that helped them improve their skills as well.
Mm-hmm. Had to be easier a little bit too, or maybe less of a headache with rescheduling because of weather for some instances for some of the games?
Yeah, we rescheduled one this year.
Wow.
And that was supposed to be played inside, but Superior couldn't get to us because of snow.
Okay.
So that was the only reason that we moved that one. Otherwise, we played everything when it was supposed to be played.
Wow.
For the first time. Yeah, that's very exciting. But also practice, not having to say, are we inside or outside? I mean, it was just an easy, hey, we're gonna be in the field house today and all our equipment is here, so that we didn't feel like we were vagabonds.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So kind of looking back at the year too, I mean, obviously, you know, not only first for Sonnentag, but first for Coach Mulvick and Coach Adam Smith with basketball and such, and what a tremendous year they've had. I mean, a lot of firsts over here too. When you look back at this year, and I know it's not quite done yet because we still got softball, we still got track and field going on. Is there anything that kind of, when you kind of, and I know you talk about reflection when you go on the golf course and kind of play some rounds and
now.
Such?
Yeah, it's starting now. Heavy dose of that now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what, is there anything that kind of pops into your mind when you look back at this year from the sports side of things, athletics?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of, you know, Robin and I always talk about when we kind of go on our retreat, we came to this thing last year, what do we categorize as a good season, and that can look different for every single program, based on the age of the group, returning talent levels, so on and so forth. And so right now, I mean, I use softball as an example. I mean, they've improved dramatically, 27 wins going into the NCAA tournament. That's a heck of a season. Anything else past just based on that is going to may produce a great season. Basketball on the men's side, you look at what Zach did, and he got the most out of those guys in terms of production. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about a number of sports in that regard. The one that really sticks out to me, because I do think they're scratching the surface, they're doing some great work in the offseason. I'm really proud of what they're doing is men's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you look at they started slow. They stuck with it. They got hot at the end. And I think they have a number of guys returning. So, again, there's a number of sports. I'd be remiss if, you know, thinking about golf and I had the opportunity to watch those guys live and how committed they are. I mean, tennis. I mean, there's a number of things this year that I'm really proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And that as we take a step back and reflect, you know, how can we continue to improve? And that's the big thing is can we sustain success in certain sports? And then for those that are continually trying to achieve at a higher level, how can we support them and really push them to think about ways to do things maybe a little bit different? And not different in ways that because we're unhappy with what they're doing, but just better, if you will. So
yeah. You mentioned golf, too. I mean, you kind of see that, too, with the women's team, how they ended their season with their best performance of the season and the improvement that they had. And shout out to Coach Skinner for that, too.
Yeah, and the other is creating consistency in staffing is really key, more than anything. And then just an identity in its totality of we want to compete at a high level regardless of what that is.
Mm-hmm. So. I was thinking about this on the way here, and Robin, you're the perfect person to ask this. So since you guys are getting ready for the national tournament, but it's also a busy week because it's finals week. So what's that like for an athlete, you know, to, you know, kind of give a little peek behind the curtain? Like, do they got to do some makeup tests or what's that final
move
exam look like?
House.
Move out and all that stuff. I mean, that's got to be for a Division III athlete kind of an awesome time, but maybe a little hectic time too.
It's a hot topic.
It's a very hot topic. You know, It's a good problem to have, right, to be in postseason. So we started the conversation a couple of weeks ago as far as, you know, forecasting and say if we were to finish the season the way that we wanted to finish the season, that this was going to be a possibility. And so the softball student-athletes started the conversations with their professors, and they've moved most of their finals to yesterday and today. And so that's actually the reason that we can't leave until tomorrow morning early and making the 8-hour bus drive. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take us about 10 hours total time, I suppose, to get there, is because we have finals. Somebody has finals tonight from 5:30, 7:30. So there's a couple of makeups. I mean, good things also with technology is that they can still take some online. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of professors have gone to that way. We have one person in particular who has 4 online finals, and they just have to be completed by Friday night at midnight or whatever. So they mm-hmm. have, you know, all, everybody is different based yep. on what their major is or based on how old they are. But I think we only have one who has a makeup on Monday when we come back. Otherwise, I think they're all going to be done at some point here. But it's actually easier, in my opinion, to do it during finals week than it is the last week of classes. So missing the last week of classes comes with a lot of presentations and
oh, yeah.
exams that are right there, you know, or final projects that are due by last Friday. So doing it in the finals, the players don't seem as stressed. Moving out of a house and being homeless for a week, I guess, you know, homeless week, right?
Yeah.
When they all kick
oh,
you
yeah.
out. That was a little bit of a stress yesterday, mm-hmm. but I think we got that one figured out as well. Our garage might become a storage facility for a couple of days.
But. It's like rummage sale, too, on the side of the streets. Everybody's trying to get rid of stuff.
Yeah, it's free month, Wisconsin.
Yeah, free month, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yep, mm-hmm. definitely.
Drive by with your pickup truck and get what you want.
Oh, I remember those days a lot. So that's I think that's another example, too. I mean, we've talked a lot, Nick, about the commitments of D3, Division III athletes and such. And you fact, something I'd never thought of, too, is like this week, I mean, you know, getting in those finals, getting in that extra work ahead of time to go play and other those factors. That just, I think, shows another commitment to the student athletes to play at this level.
Yeah, the families as well. I mean, when you start thinking about that, think about some of our student athletes, the anticipation of, hey, I'm going to get the opportunity. My family's going to watch me walk in mm-hmm. cap and gown. Well, now maybe that night might not happen because I'm participating and representing the institution.
Yeah.
So just the juggling act and how quickly things kind of turn really quick at the back end of the season. And luckily for us, we have coaches that are highly organized and adapt well. And then, you know, people in the community rallying around to, if we need help, they help. And so, mm-hmm. You know, and our staff does a great job of doing the best we can to help the student athletes adapt and make them comfortable so they can perform at a high level, both academically and athletically.
Mm-hmm. You know, look at, not to look too far ahead, but this, with this being the last episode and such for this season, how different is the offseason look like for you guys this year, too? Kind of going back to the Sonitech, I mean, you guys were busy moving in and kind of getting adjusted and getting set. Is it a little bit more of a normal offseason in terms of like a regular game plan, or have you guys thought that far ahead yet, or what's that vision kind of look like?
Yeah, I think we got a cadence now. You know, Robin and I will do our kind of our 2-day retreat, debrief. Obviously, I'll kind of do my – I don't necessarily go in a dark cave like the former quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, nothing like that. But the self-reflection on mm-hmm. things that I did well, things that I didn't do well, me personally in terms of leading the department, being really critical, utilize a lot of outside resources and conversations, whether it's family, you know, executive coach, all these different things. And then really dial into assessing every single program. How can we get better? What are the things that we did exceptionally well? What didn't we do well? And that goes for everything from strength and performance to athletic training staff, our administrative team, you know, and the dialogue continues throughout the course of the off season. And then next thing you know, you snap your fingers, and then we move right into the fall.
Yeah.
And so it certainly is. It's a nice break, but it's also a quick turnaround as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, for me, definitely different than last year as we were getting ready to move in here, cleaning out Zorn and finding years of archives and things that what do you do with them? But I think I'm actually going to take a vacation in June. So that's a different than what last summer. I didn't get as long of a breakaway. There's the dead period, the last 2 weeks of June, where the budget is closed, so the coaches can't spend any money, that's my time to get away. And then we come back after July 4th weekend, and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jason said, it's time for the fall. I know I'll have football and volleyball and soccer coaches all saying, hey, you know, let's finalize all this stuff and make sure mm-hmm. that we're ready to go for the fall.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you guys have been together now for a couple of years, working together and such. We've heard nothing but positive stuff. I mean, Nick speaks to you guys glowingly and such. How's the working relationship been like?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
There, you can pay me after this, you know, that $20 you owe me. So,
well, I'll speak from my end, everything that I had hoped this place would be is and some. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things besides the strength of the coaches, the caliber of talent in the student athletes, the commitment from the community, the support from the chancellor and the administrative team, is everything that I had hoped and some. And a big key of that, besides Nick and Amanda and Claire, Don, Spencer, is this person next to me. And everything that I had hoped that she would be, she is and some. She's experienced a lot as a coach, continues to do that. She understands, I think now my triggers, we spend a lot of time, we share a lot of personal elements in this job as well in terms of our aspirations and things. And when you have a partner that looks, at the institution and athletics in the same manner and vision as you, it makes it a lot easier because, there's different pathways to get there. Mm-hmm. And so we may not always agree on a lot of things as well. And that's what I want, to have a depth of dialogue that can really challenge each other. And so I'm so grateful for the relationship. And she works really hard. And, the biggest thing is every time I call, she picks up. Mm. I know that seems simple, but she picks up. So I can't say enough about her and our relationship, and I'm grateful for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and right back at you. I mean, this has been 2 years of learning Jason's style, and mm-hmm. I think one of the best things about who he is as a person and our leader is that he's been in our shoes, right? He mm-hmm. was a baseball coach and obviously an athletic director before he came here as well, but understanding the coaches and their needs was really important to us as a staff and a coaching group to help take our program forward to the next step. A lot of the conversations that we've had as far as being able to win, right? That's, we believe that that's our ultimate goal, and to be able to win at the national level, but also being transformational in the building of relationships within each of the teams and within each of our staff. I think that our staff, as far as administrators, have actually gotten closer throughout these last 2 years because of his leadership and the open communication that we've had. And challenging, I think. I love watching him go walk down the hallway and stop at a coach's office and hear the conversation, and then not to micromanage, but to step in and say, have you thought of, mm-hmm. right? So it's not telling the coaches what he thinks they should do. It's asking the questions. And I think that's all we can ask for mm-hmm. as a department, is to have a leader like him. So we are grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Thank you. I didn't pay her for that. Thank you. It means a lot.
You can pay me later.
No. Thank you.
No need to pay. It's been very good, and we're excited about the future of Blue Gold Athletics.
Absolutely. I want to go back. I know we talked to Jill Millis about this, but, it was Giving Week not that long ago. And, I mean, you guys passed, your goals and such. But from your perspective, we heard from Jill and why it's important, but from your side, why is Giving Week such an important thing for Division III, especially when it comes to the Blue Golds? And how impressed were you that you guys were able to exceed the goals that you had ahead of time?
I can't say enough about the commitment from alum, supporters, families, community. It speaks to the totality of what they want this athletic department to look like going mm-hmm. forward. And it truly is, as Robin said, a transformational experience. It's an opportunity for us. Money allows a lot of flexibility in some cases. And so I'm really proud of the fact that as coaches, since I've been here, at times they can stretch a dollar. Mm-hmm. And we got to be mindful of that. And obviously everybody has budgets, and we want to be a huge asset to the institution, not necessarily as somebody that's just like always in the red. We want to be a huge asset. And as a result, so when you see that in the fundraising aspect, it just gives us flexibility to, use that in a variety of ways, retaining staff, purchasing equipment. Ultimately, it goes back to, can we utilize those things to enhance the experience, which enhancing the experience creates more of an opportunity to have a better relationship mm-hmm. and focusing on the right things. And so in short, it's nothing short of amazing what the community has done in supporting Blue Gold Athletics. And probably looking at it, not necessarily trying to exceed it next year, just try to repeat it. Like, we won a championship and go back to back. So that's what we're thinking, hit that number again, back to back.
Look at you, you mentioned the community aspect too, and you know, it's such a unique thing because, like, for example, I'll use when I'm at basketball and I see Mr. Goska out there and his girls helping, you know, mop the floor. I mean, it's just, it's a unique connection, not only with the Blue Golds and Blue Gold, you know, teams and fans, but the community members with the athletic department.
Yeah, I'll say this, and this is something that we'll focus on, puts pressure on Nick a little bit, thinking about just Claire and the our whole team. You know, we want to lead, you know, and get into the conversation in the top 10 and top 5 for attendance for all of our sports teams. And how can we do that? And so creatively, it puts pressure on, you know, some of our staff, like, to think about creative ways to get people here. And so this is the town's team, you know, and that's what we look at. Like, we want to represent the Chippewa Valley. We want to represent the town exceptionally well. Just like the night with the free entry for the playoffs, it blew me away. And so thinking about that, how can we replicate that across the board for all the sports? And so that's our intent to do that next year.
There you go, Nick.
Well, and I think kind of going off of that, it's very much, you know, every community member has their sport that they like to watch and everything, but can we get it to the point where it's not just, oh, when is basketball playing or when is hockey playing? It's when are the Blue Golds playing? Right. When, if I have a free Friday night or free Thursday night, I'm going to just hop on bluegolds.com and I'm going to look at the entire schedule, see who's competing. Right. Doesn't matter the month, the season. Just, I want to go see what the Blue Golds are doing, because the Blue Golds compete at a high level. They bring that, and they bring that fun atmosphere, and they're, you know, it's something that we want this community to kind of watch these student athletes grow throughout their 4 years. Right. And then be able to, you know, in that fifth or sixth year, be sitting in the stands and, well, there's the freshman point guard that I watched since he first came here. He's now sitting next to me. He came back for alumni day or something like that, right? And I think that's the connection that's very strong. And I think, I mean, like Jason said, there's still a lot of work to be done with that, but I don't think it's something that's unobtainable.
And that, I mean, just as a fan going in, I mean, I don't know how many times I ran into you guys at basketball games, and, you know, just, you know, the little guy, my little guy, had the roster memorized, for crying out loud, and where these kids were from. I call them kids now, but, you know, adults, whatever, the college kids, sort of. But, I mean, it's that unique relationship, it seems like, too, I've noticed in the last couple of years, where you guys are really, you know, kind of embracing or you know, trying to incorporate the kids involved with youth camps. I just saw the all sports camp, what was getting you know, advertised and looking for signups and such. So it's like, I've really noticed in the last couple of years that, I don't know if it's been a major goal or like a priority for the athletics department to really focus and reach out to the younger fans too, to bring them into the family.
Well, let me just say this. I'll turn this over to Robin, but when you talk about relationships in the community and people that have really the benefit of the doubt and relationship, and is, you know, Claire Holman does an excellent job. We use her, Amanda, in terms of game management, and then the coaches. But Robin can speak to this as being in someone in the community in terms of, yeah, I mean, this is a community affair, right, in terms of representing it. And so, you know, that is a point of emphasis in thinking about the older community, the retired community in town. You know, how can we get them into the building as well, into sports teams and and such. So, but it really is, I mean, the emphasis is reaching out to the community, and we want this campus to be inviting in that regard.
So. Yeah, and actually, you know, the sports season, competition season is ending, but it is camp season that is firing up, right? So we have lots of, like you said, lots of sports camps, volleyball, basketball, both boys and girls basketball. As far as the bigger camps that we have coming this summer, we always have a running camp, we have soccer camps. So the coaches are busy doing that, and actually having their student athletes work it as well, which also helps their skills and the engagement, right? Because like your young guy, he has that connection with basketball players because he's gone to a camp, now he wants to come and watch them.
Right.
So that's the other building of our community. And one of the things that we're most likely going to put into play is that anybody eighth grade and younger is going to get into free to all of our home events, because we want to build that next community as mm-hmm. they get older. We want them connected. That means that whether they ever come and play a sport for one of our intercollegiate athletic teams or not, mm-hmm. they could potentially become a Blue Gold student. And their exposure to our campus and our student athletes will help that from a positive environment. Mm-hmm. So we bring over 3,000 youth through our camps on an annual basis. And not all of them obviously turn into student athletes, but a good portion of them will turn into Blue Gold students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, that those are their best ambassadors, the players, right? The athletes, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's because, again, my personal experience, we had a couple of your football players come over to our second grade flag football, and their eyes were just glued to those guys talking to them. And that was probably the highlight of their night, you know, because they're looking at these college football players and interacting with them. And that was the greatest thing for them. And just to see that as a parent was awesome to witness.
Yeah, the other thing, too, it gives our student athletes an opportunity to engage and effectively communicate with younger individuals, right? Just like coaches are trying to do that with them in terms of instruction and just mm-hmm. engage with them. And so the power of presence is in full display in times like that in our camps. And then the power of full engagement is such as well. So there is no doubt that, I said, I think when you start to think about levels to this thing, there is another opportunity for us to continue to grow mm-hmm. in every sport.
Mm-hmm. So I, you know, looking ahead a little bit, you don't have to break news or anything like that, but is there anything on the horizon that you guys are kind of looking at eyeing specifically, any certain goals that you'd like to, you know, kind of take a look at in summer or in the beginning of 2026 before we catch up with you guys again? Or 2025, not 2026 yet, right? Yeah. Yeah. See, now you say end of the year.
Don't 2025.
So,
this one went fast enough.
Yeah. I mean, the point of emphasis this next year in terms of attendance, I'd like to see the community engage with our teams a little bit more and continue mm-hmm. to have that. Removing barriers, like you said, we know that we want to make it financially friendly in mm-hmm. terms of that. So that's a point of emphasis. As far as the competition aspect, you know, for me is assessing every program and what have we done as an institution at our very best. I mean, that's kind of the bar, and then trying to replicate that over and over again in some cases. And so I think the other point of emphasis is as we start to have a staff, continuity of our staff is in place and continuing to push them is really going to be a point of emphasis for me, is how can I help them and challenge them as I get more comfortable in my role
mm-hmm.
and continue to earn their trust. You know, mm-hmm. that's a continual cycle of that year by year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a goal for me personally, and then thinking about our department in a nutshell. They may have some different goals. I'd like to hear them.
I'm going to have to reflect. I haven't really had a lot of time to think about that one yet. So as far as finishing this year, so I can't really give you a good answer unless Nick has something on his mind that he'd like to accomplish. And how much money is that going to cost me?
Well, I haven't crunched all the numbers yet.
Okay.
I think I agree with you in a sense of, like, I'm a person who doesn't like complacency,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you get to a certain level where things are working so well. I'm the type of person that wants to, you know, stay ahead of the curve. What is next? And I think, at least for Spencer and I, we have some very good things on the horizon, and we have an idea of what next year looks like. It's now just going to come down to the brass tacks of, you know, can we accomplish them, and can we accomplish them the way that we want to? And part of that is, you know, our roles have changed, you know, year by year to looks very different from last 5 years to is now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where, you know, the whole not getting complacent with it, right? Not getting too comfortable. Keep getting outside of your comfort zone, because, you know, I can't teach a kid how to, you know, hit a free throw, right? But I can do my darndest to, you know, put out some cool video mm-hmm. that maybe some recruit will see or mom and dad will see, and be able to, you know, basically take that video, and it's a memory, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I think that's where I think you're 100% right. Like, getting outside of our comfort zones and pushing us to the next level is key. And I think we're definitely able to get there.
Mm-hmm. I think to add upon that, whether it's this podcast, our announcer, our game day staff, I really hope that everybody that's associated with our department and program or teams, from the families to the academic side, they influence winning. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's certainly a goal, is I want everybody to see through that lens that what they do drastically influences winning. And that is really important. So, you know, the coaches, without a doubt, they'll all have their ambitions going into the year. And, you know, if we all continue to move in that direction, we're going to have a great year. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. And this year has been a great year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I know, you know, it's a campus thing, but it's probably something that's, I got to imagine you guys talk, but there's going to be a new chancellor coming up in the future too. Is that something you guys kind of follow along to, see that process, or does that relate to athletics a little bit? Sort of, I mean, that's a big change coming to UW-Eau Claire too.
It is. Chancellor Schmidt, we can go on and on about what he's accomplished here and the influence he's had on athletics. It's been remarkable, and I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
As a friend, I'm excited for the new chapter of him and to see what he's going to do at a major Division I institution. There's no doubt he'll do mm-hmm. exceptionally well. I'm confident in that. Interim chancellor, and I hate using the word interim, so I'm just going to call him Chancellor Carney. His was the FAR for a long time within athletics. Is a great supporter, so we look forward to that relationship. And for me, our goal is that we become an asset in the recruiting process of the next chancellor.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that athletics is such a huge part of every collegiate campus now, and depending on how you look at it, but from a Division III standpoint, just because of the totality of net tuition revenue and what it brings in terms of students. And so we want, you know, somebody that's looking at this job, at least for me personally, and look at it and say, man, they have a lot of great things. The new science building, the Sonatag, the expansion of majors, whatever that case may be,
mm-hmm.
and go, I want to be a part of that because they're really in a really good position. And so that's my goal, you know, as we transition into the new chancellor moving
mm-hmm.
forward.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you look at the entire scope of college sports, and I don't know if it's reached the D3 level or how much it's reached it, but I mean, it's still NIL, it's still transfer portal and such. Has that been kind of getting closer to that D3 level? Is it something you guys, maybe specifically more NIL, because I know transfer portal stuff's going on. Is that getting closer to being a bigger thing in D3? Is it already there at that point?
It is.
It is?
It is. It's in smaller versions. I will say this, though. The coaches are, you know, anytime that you're going to bring, whether it's a freshman or a transfer, anybody that you're going to bring into, quote-unquote, the family, it's got to be more than talent. They have to be a tremendous fit in a lot of ways. And as we know, that's the point of emphasis, and Robin can speak to this. The culture of our department and the culture of our student athletes is paramount, and those programs that have that have the opportunity to you know, compete at a high level. And so I'll just say this, our goal for some of our teams, I never want to, when we're equally talented to our opponents, I want the variables of culture, connectivity with the coach, connectivity among the players, to be the separator of why we beat those teams. Because
mm-hmm.
ultimately, NCAA tournament, our aspirations, all these things, we're going to run into a team that's as talented as us, right? And mm-hmm. so what does that look like? Can we get the most out of our student athletes? Can we get the most out of our coaches? You know, so if we lose, hey, they dressed better that day. It wasn't going to be because things that we could control. And to me, those are things that we can control.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, going back to, I mean, as far as the culture and us helping our coaches develop that culture, I think that's one of the biggest lessons that we've learned throughout this past year. When we did our first Head Coaches Leadership Summit last July, Jason brought in some incredible people that helped us start to define, in a sense, core values or standards, I guess, whatever you want to call them that way. But there was three resounding themes that kept coming up in those 2 days. And it was belief, details, and trust. And I think those are going to be the cornerstone of what Blue Gold Athletics is going to be, look like in the future. And those is going to be a unifying type of values to us, and how each one of the sports, what it looks like in their sport. What does belief look like? What does details look like? What does trust look like? But also as a whole, in bringing the coaches together, bringing the administrators together with the coaches and the student athletes, and then, you know, in your recruiting process, right? Are you a good fit? And so I think just those, that beginning of that and how it's developed throughout the year in our conversations with our coaches and our student athletes and with the student athlete advisory committee, and both Jason and Nick can speak to this as far as what they've started to do with the SAC. But that's just going to be a springboard to this next year, and how do we get better in helping each one of the student athletes have an experience that they look back at and say, how, wow, that was incredible. It was positive, and it changed my life. Mm-hmm. And now I'm ready to go out into the so-called real world.
Mm-hmm. What is that student advisory committee?
So student advisory athletic committee is a student athlete advisory committee. I believe we have 42 members.
Yep.
42 members this year that were picked by the coaches, or they're volunteered for their teams. We met every other Tuesday morning. And this year, it was a lot of talk about leadership, a lot of talk about culture, but it's an opportunity kind of for those student athletes to kind of be the voice, right? We talked a little bit about, you know, some of their concerns, or, you know, even to them, like, one of the things that I thought was really cool is some of the stuff that we would talk in our head coaches meetings, we would phrase those same questions to the student athletes, and being able to kind of see, well, you know, this sports coach said this, well, their student athletes said the same thing. Now, did the coach talk to those student athletes about our meeting? Probably not, but it's kind of cool that they both came to the same conclusion, right? And so it's an opportunity for us to, you know, selfishly get to know the student athletes a little bit better, but it, you know, truly let them have, you know, a voice going forward. And I think even with that, like, we're going to ramp it up next year into, you know, basically it could be its own, like, sub department, right? And whether it's, you know, philanthropy on their side, or, you know, going out into the community, helping out at games, stuff like that, like, our goal for that committee in itself is to be kind of the engine that helps run the rest of the student athletes.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a lot about the Blue Golds and the scope of the Blue Golds, but what's like the WIAC look like now, you know, the conference overall? I mean, just, you know, immediate, but going forward, I mean, we always hear about, you know, coaches, best conference in the country for their particular sport and such. But, you know, obviously softball this year was really, really, as a fan, fun to watch, you know, the competition wise in it. But I mean, what's the state of the conference look like?
We have some great leaders in athletic director roles. Let me start there. People that exude the identity of their particular institution. And I've learned that very fast. And then you trickle that down to coaches and, you know, very similar in the same manner. And I've said this before, the thing that I'm really impressed with and grateful for among my colleagues despite how tough we compete against each other, they're very complimentary and we root for each other. Somebody wins a national championship, you know, they'll put that out in the chain, or somebody accomplishes something, so on and so forth. So I'm grateful for that. And thinking about the conference as a whole going forward, you know, when you have that type of camaraderie, you can do some great things as a conference in terms of putting our conference in a position to continue to be successful. But again, individually, it makes it exceptionally hard because, again, whether it's to win a conference championship or get into the NCAA tournament, whatever that may be, you have to compete at a high level. There's no doubt. And so, again, there isn't a sport that we have that is going to be, in essence, subpar to a degree. it's going to be competitive, and they're going to represent their institutions exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. And so excited for that. I would imagine being as tough as it is going forward, and we'll embrace it and jump right in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think a perfect example of that is, I mean, you even just look at, you know, we watched the selection show with softball. I mean, there's four WIAC softball teams.
Yeah.
In the NCAA tournament, there's five WIAC volleyball teams, four on the each basketball side. Like, it's not an understatement when we do mention, like, the WIAC is one of the best, if not the best conference in mm-hmm. all of Division III, in all regards, not mm-hmm. just, you know, the main sports.
Right.
So.
Yeah. On your side, too, because you're unique with the coaching aspect of it, too, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, I just, the interaction and how hard each one of the, I mean, specifically softball, because that's what I coach, but you know it's going to be a dogfight every day at the ballpark mm-hmm. When you come. Some days I wish I worked in another league just so I could have an easy day, but then even then, the game of softball is not a fair sport. Sometimes I call it a silly game, because you can hit the ball extremely hard and it gets caught, mm-hmm. Or you can have a blooper that falls in behind the third baseman type of thing, and you lose 1-0. So, I mean, it's what the ball game gives to you, and you're mm-hmm. going to get your breaks hopefully at the right time. So, but we have some of the best coaches across the country as well in our league, across all our sports, as far as what they're trying to do, both on the field of play and off the floor, mm-hmm. taking care of their own student athletes.
Nick, did you have any more before we start to?
I kind of want to continue this a little bit, but for you two, and I know we've kind of talked about it, but when it comes to scheduling for next year and years, you know, going on, now that we have NPI and all that stuff, mm-hmm. is there like a piece of advice we're going to be giving coaches as far as like how to schedule, because our conferences are so tough? Is it going to be, you know, looking into different conferences to schedule for non-conference and stuff like that, or is it kind of just staying the course of action for how coaches have scheduled?
No, I think the biggest challenge, I think all the coaches are keenly aware of MPI and so on and so forth, what that looks like to me in the conversation, is if you're going to pick a particular opponent, tell me why, right? And then have the conversation related to that. Tell me why we're playing this team. What are you hoping to accomplish? Is this going to set us up for other things, right? And our conference is exceptionally difficult. And so, you know, you got to look at the totality of the season and what that looks like for your team, and be keenly aware about, what that looks like, and the difficulty, and then the headspace of the student athletes, right? Can we build momentum? And winning creates a different atmosphere than losing. And no matter what it is. So to me, we got to continue to look at that and challenge the coaches accordingly.
Yeah, and I think you're still going to have the same challenges that you had previously when you're looking to schedule, because you think a certain team's going to be good, or, you know, maybe not as good as they were last year, or
right.
They're going to be better than they were last year. And then because of injury or transfer or, you know, just plain performance that day, it's just not working out. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're not going to get the so-called bonus points in the MPI because that opponent didn't do what you thought they were going to do. So it's still a little bit of a crapshoot. And obviously the most important thing is to find a way to get enough wins that you can get your NPI to a point that gets you into postseason.
And you got to have a willing partner. You know, that's the thing about coaches having respectable programs and relationships. Because again, you want to have a competition without a conference opponents that you have great relationships, or student athletes conduct themselves appropriately, so they want to play us again. In some cases, scheduling is not easy. It's very difficult when you have the umbrella of the WIAC, and not everybody's jumping to play our teams mm-hmm. either, and so that makes it a little bit difficult as well. So sometimes, you know, your narrow of opportunity in terms of who's available to play shrinks quite a bit. So. So we got to think of that, and I'm proud of that. Like I said, I think our kids have conducted themselves exceptionally well as we continue to do that, and the respect the coaches have among their colleagues regionally and nationally, you know, that helps as mm-hmm. well.
I don't know if you had a follow-up quick before.
No.
Just kind of quick, you know, maybe for some who don't realize, but like for since we're talking scheduling that, like how big is it that Beloit is going to be in the WIAC for hockey? Like how does that affect the conference, but also Blue Gold hockey?
Yeah, on the men's side, obviously it allows us to continue to have an AQ and mm-hmm. For the NCAA tournament. So that's really key. It helps us with scheduling, right? So you can create a consistency and you can budget accordingly. But that's really key. And so, you know, that's a little bit of the difficulty with golf, mm-hmm. right? We've been nationally ranked. Where, you know, we don't have enough teams to qualify for an AQ in golf. So our season, in essence, ends. But I still think we're one of the best 25 teams in the country. Mm-hmm. So that's really difficult for our student athletes in that regard to say, well, our season's done because there's only a small window of at-larges. So that is really important as mm-hmm. we start to think about that going forward. You know, and then think about the difficulty on the football side. I know people think, you know, why is some of our schools playing D2 schools and some of those things? It's, well, that's who's available and certain teams want to play. But that hurts us because even if one of our institutions beats a D2 school, it doesn't help us in those schools in the power ranking. It's like a no contest. So, mm-hmm. So it, again, as we think about that, the expansion, it really helps us to have a minimum of six teams in all of our sports, and which we do in most, and continue to expand on that.
Mm-hmm. Since we've done lightning round with these guys, Nick, do we want to do it again before, or just kind of?
Do you think your answers have changed?
Okay, actually, mine got skipped last year.
Oh, remember? That's right.
So I just have to say that pineapple does belong on pizza.
Oh, come on, Robin. Jason, remind the viewers
that's really
the right
only
answer.
One, that's really the only one that I needed to answer to support Nick.
That was surprising. I did not expect that from my partner there. So
I guess there's still some things you don't know about each other.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. That's a curveball. I like that. Well done, partner. Well done.
So, I mean, Robin, as you're getting ready for a national tournament and such, do you have any superstitions from a coaching aspect? Do you do anything different? Or what's, you know, does everything try to keep everything as possible?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the same thing you tell the players is that every game is big, mm-hmm. every day is big, right?
Yep.
And so I think we've done a really good job staying consistent with that message
mm-hmm.
This year, especially, and as far as being really honest with them as far as what the outcome is going to determine. Mm-hmm. So to us, this is a new season. This is bonus ball. At this point, you know, I mean, we worked all year to get to this point, and so everybody in our mind starts 0-0, and we're ready to make a run. So mm-hmm. we'll see what we can do.
Well, I won't ask you guys to pick a favorite memory, so I'll kind of go through some that stand out to me from this past year. I mean, I go back to what a run for men's soccer.
Fantastic.
In the fall. I mean, that was a lot of fun to watch.
Casey, absolutely.
Yeah. The first year with Coach Zach and Coach Adam for men's basketball was absolutely the men's hockey team getting to the tournament and that run. You know, track and field always has those high expectations, and rightfully so. Again, softball this year, golf, you know, for men's golf, as you were just kind of mentioning it too. I mean, you know, even gymnastics setting some records this year. There's been so much
wrestling back-to-back,
yes.
You know, back-to-back individual national champ, a new All-American, volleyball. Mm-hmm. Repeating, getting into the tournament.
Yep.
I mean, again, the tough part is there's so many, and we just continually look from top to bottom, getting the opportunity to host in lacrosse, and them having a winning season and so on and so forth.
Swimming conference champs.
I mean, Annie and her team. So, it is when you start to reflect and we go back and we reflect, you're like, damn, it's a pretty good year,
mm-hmm.
and continue to see can we stack years on top of that. I think the biggest thing for me, when you know, to revert back to the question you asked about goals,
mm-hmm.
and I know our student athletes look at Claire, Amanda, Nick, Spencer, Robin, and they know that they care dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, my goal going into this next year is, can I exude that? Do our student athletes know that I care about their performance and care about what they do. And that's for me personally. Mm-hmm. Sometimes administratively, we have so much work that we don't get to engage with the student athletes as much. And if we do, it's very in short snippets. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's, you know, again, in big settings. So for me, that's a goal going into this next year. At the same time, thinking about the coaches, do our student athletes know that the coaches love and care about them mm-hmm. in a way that they're going to develop at a high level? Mm-hmm. So,
and I can say this too, just you know, from my personal side, I can't think of another year. I know there hasn't been another year where I've followed along, been more, you know, going to games and involved and being a big time Blue Gold fan, you know, just going to the games and sitting there cheering. I'm like, I can't, it's been a little bit here, and it was sucking me in. And that's a credit to you guys. And it's a credit, don't take this so much, Nick, but a credit to Nick, you know, I kid. But it's just been, it's because even, you know, being an alum here, it's different. It's a different vibe. It's a different energy that has been going on for the last couple of years. And it's one, on one hand, it's cool that I get to take my son, 7-year-old son, to these games, and he's interacting and just getting to know the coaches and these players a little bit on a personal note too. It's just what you guys have done has been fantastic in these last couple of years. And you know, you talk about getting more involved in the community and such. I've got no doubt that's going to happen. You know they're going to come in waves, because it's so fun. It's easy to root for. I mean, I felt like I was actually a coach on the sideline watching some of these games, trying to get involved in it. And I think that's just a direct relation to what the standard that you guys have kind of put out there, and your coaches and the athletes, because top to bottom, it's such a well-run department.
Thank you.
It's such an awesome department. So that's a kudos to you guys.
Yeah, and on the other side, we need to thank both you and Nick for all the time that you put in on a weekly basis to prepare for the podcast, to find the people to tell our story, because mm-hmm. we really believe that this has been a big part. These podcasts have been a big part of helping bring the community into us mm-hmm. and feel that connection. So thank you.
No, that's all Nick.
That's all you.
No,
and we have some swag for you before you go. As
you
always,
gotta do that.
We do. We got some.
Are you finally giving me this as the office now, like you said last year? I mean, you know.
I don't know. I might have to be his office. We're a little short on office spaces. We might have to take that one back.
Well, any final words, Nick, before?
Let's go win a championship, eh?
Yeah.
We're gonna do our best. So.
Speaking of which, there's Coach Huntington walking by right now. So there you go. So
tell her to get to work.
Yeah, right?
Such a bulldog. I mean, she, you know, I say this in the kindest manner, just a bulldog. Just tough, you know, engaging, cares about our kids. It makes it easy to come to work when you know that you're working on behalf of people like that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a number of our coaches in that regard. They all have obviously different personalities, but when you know you have leaders like that of individual sports, and on top of that, that they care about the success of other programs, mm-hmm. they said it is just remarkable. It's this place is everything that I had hoped and more.
Awesome. I think we end on that note. That was perfect. So season 2 in the books, guys. Thank you for everything for this year. Enjoy some time off when it gets to that time. First, take care of some business on the ball diamond, and then enjoy the summer, and hopefully we'll catch up with you guys in a couple months here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.